there's a concept in the Bible that I want to talk more about today. And it's a concept that the church is the body of Christ. Now, this is more than just a good phrase to repeat, or this is just more than just a good word picture for us to understand what a church is. But there are truths and there are realities in that concept that we as Christians should know in order for us to better live out our Christian life on this earth, in order for us to know how to relate to other Christians, especially within the church, and also the church universal, meaning that the Christians who live across the continent, Christians who live in different cultures, and even Christians who live before us and those who will come in the future. That's what we call church universal, meaning that all these people, regardless of space, time, distance, who are all believers of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there are many different aspects of that reality that I want to focus on. And one of the best places in the Bible that talks about the church as the body of Christ is actually found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me start from verse 12 and all the way to the end of the chapter. This is once again 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to verse 13 and talks about love. But today we are going to focus on the church as the body of Christ. And this is actually a really long passage that I just read. And I just want to point out three different aspects that's highlighted in this passage. And the first aspect is that because we are the body of Christ, because the church is the body of Christ, therefore there is unity within the body. There should be unity within the body of Christ. However, it's unity and not uniformity. Once again, there's unity but not uniformity. What do I mean? Well, unity means that there's a same purpose, a single purpose. For instance, let's say I want to go across the table, across the room to a table with a cup on it to pick up the cup. But if there is no unity among the members of my body, my hand wants to go and reach for the cup, but my feet is actually walking the wrong direction, then I cannot go and pick up that cup. So there has to be a unity within the body that my brain says, okay, go pick up the cup, and my feet says, okay, I'll walk towards the table, and my hand will go reach out and grab the cup. That's unity. However, what uniformity is that my whole body, if you compare it, you can see that my hand is different than what my feet is. My eyes are different than what my ears are. And that's also what we see, and what Paul is saying. He's saying that if the whole body were an eye, then where would the sense of hearing be? Or if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell be? Meaning that it's not uniform. The whole body is not just one big nose, and that's it. Or the whole body is not just one big eye, and if that's the case, then where would the sense of hearing be? And that's what Paul is saying. It's not uniformity. It's not every single person with it who comes to a church does not mean that they should look like everyone else. Doesn't mean that they should do in terms of job or their occupation like what everyone else does. And that also doesn't mean that their personality will be the same as what everyone else's are. There is diversity in unity. There is, it's not uniformity. You don't have to look the same way as I do. You don't have to do the same things that I do. But still, because we are both believers in Christ, because we are all disciples of Jesus, then we have a common purpose, a common goal, and we have a unity. Because in Christ we can have unity, we can have the same purpose, the same goals, but we can do it through different ways, and because of our different personalities, we can do it through different means. And that's what one of the important aspects of being a body of Christ, meaning that there is unity, but that definitely does not mean that there is uniformity. And a second part that I want to focus on also is that because we are the body of Christ, then we should therefore have care for one another. And that's specifically highlighted in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 to 26, where Paul says that, especially in verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And God is the one who placed these people and these parts of the body into the body. In verse 24, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. And it's very important for there to be no division within the body. Unfortunately, throughout church history, this has been a really bad example within the church, because many different groups within the church, many different sects within the church rises up, and usually they are antagonistic towards one another instead of showing cooperation. Actually, this part, the second part, is the first part, the first truth that we see in that the church is a body of Christ, meaning that there's unity but uniformity. And the second truth I want to focus on is that there is cooperation and not competition. And then that's highlighted in verses 21 to 26. Cooperation and not competition. Once again, as I said, throughout church history, unfortunately, there are much more examples of competition within different groups of the church, within different denominations of the church, and sometimes it leads even to physical wars and killings and stuff in the history of the church. And hopefully in this time that we have already learned the importance and the need for different groups, different Christian groups to come and cooperate with one another, that together we can come together and join our forces to complete the mission or the vision that God has given us. Once again, as I said, in Christ we have the same purpose, but we may not do it the same way, because you are not forced to become more like me, but we are all supposed to become more like Jesus Christ. And that's where our common vision, our common goal comes. Cooperation is really important, and it's vital to a body, and also to the church as a whole. That as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And once again, the feet cannot say to the head, or the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. That within the universal church, within the church, that we need one another. There has to be a cooperation. The eye is good in seeing things, but the hand is good in doing things. And the eyes is good in the visual aspect of things, while the the ears is good with the hearing, and the nose with the smelling, or you know, the head is good, you know, for thinking, and the feet is important for moving. These are all they have different functions, but if when they work together, that's how you know the whole body functions and more completely or more fully. So let's just use an example of two different groups within Christianity. Actually, let me make it less personal. Let's say that two different spiritual gifts and how it functions. Let's say one is a pastor, and another one is the teacher. This is just a side note, and spiritual gifts is actually also another important part of the body, and that's the third thing I want to talk about, and we can see that later on from verse 27 to verse 31. But this is just an example that I want to give to show that the need for cooperation. So let's say that the one person is given the gift of being a pastor, while the other person is given by God, by the same Holy Spirit, by the same God, the gift of being a powerful teacher. Well, the teacher is more concerned about right and wrong, you know, and in the teacher's mind, usually there's truth and there's false or lies, and there are facts that are true, and then there are things that shouldn't be taught because it's not true. So for a teacher, it's more black and white, you know, true, right and wrong, true and false. However, for someone who has a strong pastoral heart and who has been given that pastoral heart by God, by the Holy Spirit, then this person many times, because they deal with human beings and they deal with other peoples, and they have the care and the love for other people, they will see things many times in shades of gray. That, you know, it's not as clear cut as black or white. It's not as clear cut as right and wrong. It's not as clear cut as sin and not sinning, because each individual circumstances may require different ways of dealing with it. And in a person who has a strong pastoral heart, they will want to do all they can to help that person overcome certain problems, and they may bend the rules, certain rules and regulations, in order just to see that person get edified and get strengthened in Christ. So when we stop and think about these two different spiritual gifts that are given by God, by the same God, we may think that it seems that there could be arise some antagonistic attitudes towards one another. While the teacher who looks at the pastor will say that the teacher will say that the pastor is crossing the border of right and wrong, while the pastor looking at the teacher will think that the teacher is actually very cruel or not caring. But that's treating spiritual gifts and treating the body as a competition among one another and antagonistic towards one another. However, if we see that there's cooperation between these two gifts that are given by the same God, and by the same Holy Spirit, then they can actually work together. If we see how they work together and how they fit together, for instance, a teacher will come and teach on the truth and the uncompromising truth that is found in the Word of God. And then for each individual situation, the pastor will come in and provide counseling and provide support and provide a hearing ear in order for the individual congregation member to rise up to become a powerful man of God or a powerful woman of God. Then you can see that how cooperation will actually strengthen the church and will strengthen the individual who needed help. That they will know the truth, and then the pastor will come and provide maybe the different steps in order to reach in order to grow in that truth. So this is just one example of showing that because the church is the body of Christ, there should be cooperation instead of competition. And cooperation actually does more than what each individual gifts will be able to do. So the church as the body of Christ, as seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to verse 31, first of all, because the church is the body of Christ, then there should be unity, common purpose, common goal. But we don't require, nor do we desire, uniformity. I mean, not everyone has to be the same. You know, not everyone has to act the same. Not everyone has to wear the same clothes, and so on and so forth. And the second truth that we see is that there is cooperation. Actually, cooperation produces more than competition, of course. And cooperation produces more than what each individual gifts can do. And there is unity and not uniformity. There's cooperation and not competition. And the third part I want to talk about is that because the church is the body of Christ, then this is a... that every member is an important part of the body of Christ. That every member has a ministry within the body of Christ. And we can see that highlighted in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to the end, 31, where it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it," meaning that each individual member is important to the body of Christ. Each individual member contributes to the body of Christ. "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues." What this is pointing out is that as Christians, we are all given at least one spiritual gift that God has granted to us. And that as Christians, we can use those spiritual gifts to the edification of the whole body, to the helping of the whole body. Now, within the gifts, of course, there are different order in terms of who is going to lead. You know, because if a group of people just come together and there's no leader, then each individual person will do whatever they want, and the group will not be able to fully function as with the power of the group. However, God has appointed, there are certain leaders and there are certain people that God has given, meaning the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, and so on, to take on a leadership role. However, that does not mean that they are more important than the rest of the body. Now, there are still those with the gifts of healing, there are those with gifts of helping, there are those, everyone has different gifts that can contribute to the body of Christ. And in verse 29, Paul says, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, and, everyone work miracles," and so on and so forth. And of course, the answer is no. Not everyone are apostles. Not everyone are called prophets. But there are apostles and there are prophets who come and lead the church, and so that the church can grow and mature. And if we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, we can actually see the purpose of having these so-called leaders of a church, apostles, prophets, teachers. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." So once again, what this is pointing at, or what I'm trying to say is that God did give us certain gifts that are to take the leadership role. However, the leadership role is not to usurp the gifts of the individual believers, meaning that the prophets, the pastors, the apostles, they are not to do all the ministry. In fact, in Ephesians 4, we can see that they are there for the purpose of equipping the saints, of equipping other people to do the ministry. It's not a clergy and layman separation, distinction, meaning that clergy does all the work while the layman stays in the world and once in a while comes to church and give their offering and so on and so forth. However, it's a every member ministry where the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, they come and they train up people to be able to do the work of the ministry, to mature in Christ. And because we are the body of Christ, because the church is the body of Christ, then it means that every single individual is a part of that body, and every single individual has a beneficial effect to that body. They contribute to that body. They help out that body. It's not the clergy do all the work and the people, the laymen, just sit there and listen. It's every member has something that they can give to the body through their time, their money, and their gifts to strengthen the body and to help out the body. So this is just a quick look into the concept that the Bible shows us, meaning showing us that the church is the body of Christ. And from that truth, there are three things that we can focus on. Meaning, number one is that there is, because the church is the body, then there should be a unity, a common goal, common purpose, and not uniformity. And number two is that there is cooperation and not competition. And number three is that there is a every member ministry and not the distinction of the laity and clergy. So hopefully you have been reminded of what it means to be part of the church and what it means that we are the body of Christ. So let's close this time in prayer. Lord, I thank you for just reminding us once again, Lord, that you desire unity among your people. In fact, that's what you prayed on the earth for all of us, for the Christians who will come to know you, Lord, that you desire for us to have the same unity as you had with the Father, Jesus. So we thank you for that prayer, and Lord, we echo the same prayer, Lord, that you will give us a unity among one another, Lord, a unity within the church, and Lord, a cooperation within the church, and Lord, that each and every individual within the church will fully maximize the gifts that you have given us, Lord, that we may be able to reach out and touch others who need help, Lord. We may be able to bring the love of Christ to the world who desires to see your love and who desires to feel your love. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking, Lord, that you will bring this truth into our remembrance, Lord, and you also, Lord, that you will help us and empower us to be able to live out this unity, this cooperation, and our spiritual gifts for the glory of Jesus and for the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.